So. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين مسلمانوں میں سے
Hazur says that there is a section amongst the Muslims who, in terms of the so-called ulama, religious clergy, whose work it is to create disorder, following them without thought or reason, are those who oppose Ahmadiyyat. Some of them are such, and they consist of the large majority who are unconnected with religion. They only offer the Eid prayers, or if anything, they may from time to time offer the Friday prayer. Others are such, who despite disliking any kind of strictness or harshness in religion, and those who abhor the edicts of takfir, that is, the edicts of excluding other people out of the faith of Islam by these religious leaders, are silent due to their fear. Yet there is also a denomination of people who, although have little knowledge of Islam or religion, they do not possess much awareness of the religion, however they do desire that those objections that are raised against Islam and the Muslims, the criticisms and allegations that are leveled against Islam, that they should be responded and somehow should be halted and they should be replied to, that those opponents should be rendered speechless. It is their longing that all the sects within Islam should unite as one. And uniting as one, they should challenge the opponents of Islam and the Jaliyat, the Antichrist. Amongst this group are also included the Muslims of India and the Muslims of Pakistan. Also in this group are the Muslims of the Arab countries. And also included in this group are the Muslims living in other areas. Amongst them, those who wish to know Islam only by the name of Islam rather than by any sect, they also raise the objection against Jamaat Ahmadiyya, the Ahmadiyya community, and they raise questions at various occasions. That is it the case that there was a shortage of sects within Islam, that you have now formed a new sect? They say to us that if you are compassionate and sympathetic towards Islam, then you should try to alleviate Islam from this sectarian divide. First of all, I would like to offer my thanks to these people who raise these questions, that at least they have considered us a sect of Islam, and at least they have considered us as Muslims. Without thought and reason, they do not raise edicts of takfir, that is, excluding us out of the fold of Islam. I will state to such people that Allah, the Almighty, showing His mercy upon the Muslim Ummah, the Muslim community, according to the prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and in exact accordance with his own prophecies, sent Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad alayhi salam of Qadian, peace be upon him, as the promised Messiah and the Imam Mahdi. And he was sent by God Almighty for this very reason, so that sectarianism would come to an end. The Muslims who enter Jamaat Ahmadiyya and convey the salam, the greetings of peace of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, they have come from different sects of Islam, and they eradicate sectarianism. They enter Jamaat Ahmadiyya for the very reason alone, so that they can practice the true and real teachings of Islam. Allah the Almighty bestows His grace and blessings upon them and opens their eye of discernment. As such, they left altogether sectarianism and instead adopted the true Islam. They came into the fold of that Hakam and Adl, judge and arbiter, regarding whom the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had prophesied. And they do this so that the wrong rituals and customs, teachings, and also innovations, which are rife in different sects, that they instead should be seen in light of the true teachings of the Holy Quran. And for the reason that they should follow that in light of the true teachings of the Holy Quran, and that should be practiced and implemented accordingly. It is purely a result of presenting the true light of the teachings of Islam and also his moral training that he provided, that Jamaat Ahmadiyya, in accordance with the commands of Allah and his Messenger, considers every person who recites the Kalama, the Muslim Creed, as a Muslim. For any person to be a Muslim, it is sufficient that he recites La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. There is none worthy of worship except Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. This has been testified by the hadith. But in contrast, observe the other sects. Every single one of them regarding the other sect is raising edicts of takfir, excluding them out of the fold of Islam. In short, those who have concern and a heartfelt pain towards Islam, their misconception that the community of the Muslims is already divided into so many sects, and Jamaat Ahmadiyya, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, has formed a new sect and in the process has laid the foundation for fresh disorder. This misunderstanding is an outcome of a lack of knowledge of the Quran and the Hadith. Study the literature of any other sect. You will find a huge collection of edicts of takfir to exclude each other out of the fold of Islam. In contrast, if you study the literature of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, then you will find the defense against the attacks of the non-Muslims against Islam. Then you will find this request to the Muslims that save yourselves from this poison of raising edicts of excluding each other out of the fold of Islam and instead become fully engaged in the service of Islam. Or you will find that for the sake of Hakukullah and Hakukul Abad, the rights due to Allah and due to mankind, what we need to undertake to carry these out. Or you will find the emphasis within our literature that for the sake of love, affection, peace and reconciliation in the world, what we need to do to achieve this, and what efforts we need to make to extinguish the fire of hatred. Or you will find therein what the true status of the companions, the Sahaba of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was. And every single one of those companions is a brilliant star that is worthy of being followed. And every one of those companions had his or her own respective status. Therefore, within the literature of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, these are the beautiful aspects that are found, rather than edicts of takfir, excluding each other out of the fold of Islam. As I stated, there is a huge collection of edicts of takfir, excluding each other out of the fold of Islam. Take any book of edicts of any of the sects, you will find edicts of takfir against each other of these books of these sects. That latter matter that I stated, that what the status is of the companions, this is a topic that I select just now. If we observe, there are two major groups in Islam which are further divided into sects, Shia and Sunni. Both Shia and Sunni have acted unjustly and have gone to extremes. And doing so, they have not refrained from lowering the status of the companions, those Sahaba companions who made immense sacrifices in the earlier period in the time of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Because of this extremity, they also raise edicts of takfir, excluding each other out of the fold of Islam. They are raising these edicts and they go on raising such edicts. If one of these denominations has adopted an approach of extremity, raising the status of Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Hussein, may Allah be pleased with them, in an extraordinary enhanced way, and in comparison, in an extremely unjust way, have striven to lower the status of the other companions. So the other people have done no less. Then even within these major groups, there are further sectarian divides, as I have stated. And this sectarianism has created a new wave of disorder. In short, it would appear that the result of all of this is to, God forbid, present Islam as something extreme, which raises edicts of kufr, disbelief, excluding each other out of the fold of Islam against each other, and a religion which spreads and creates disorder. But as I just explained, the purpose of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, is a most beautiful objective. It is to present the beautiful image of Islam. This is why to perceive the Ahmadiyya Muslim community in the same way as these groups and these sects is a serious injustice against Jamaat Ahmadiyya, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. Nowadays, we are passing through the month of Muharram. Every year, we pass through this month. In those countries where we find a large population of Shias and Sunnis, there we find during this month of Muharram, from both sides, a loss of life and property. Whether it is Pakistan, or whether it is Iraq, or whether it is any other country for that matter. In every direction, this is what we find, that in Muharram there is some disorder that is rife, and there is a loss of life and property. Although this harm to life and property has become an everyday routine, however, during the month of Muharram in particular, this intensifies. As I stated, that these people have accumulated a huge assortment of edicts of takfir, excluding each other out of the fold of Islam against each other. When I researched into this, then a vast collection of material was gathered. However, as some of these are so obnoxious, so vile, that I do not even want to present any of these by way of example here. Today, I only want to present the Hakam and Adil, the judge and arbiter of this time, the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi's most wise counsels and injunctions regarding the Khulafa-i Rashidin, the rightly guided Khulafa and the Sahaba-i-Ikram, the blessed companions, and also Hazrat Imam Hussein and Ali, etc. May Allah be pleased with him. From this it comes to light the most beautiful manner in which the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, peace be upon him, made efforts to eradicate the foundation of disorder. When I had these statements collected together, then they reached hundreds of pages long. At this time, however, in accordance with the time, I shall only present but a few examples of his statements. In Jamaat Ahmadiyya as well, there are various people who have done the bayah, the Pledge of Allegiance, and who have come from different sects and who have not yet been trained properly. To listen to these statements is essential for them as well. Also, those people who I have given an example of, who at times they watch MTA, or perhaps they even listen to a khutbah here and there, and they take interest in the Jamaat, or they have sympathy and compassion towards Islam. But in their minds, a question may be brimming, that Jamaat Ahmadiyya is perhaps also a sect, which is like other ordinary sects of Islam. So before them, I shall present the statements of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. By doing so, they will also come to know that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, came to unite all the sects of Islam as one, and to free everyone from all types of excesses. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, was commissioned by God Almighty to unite all the Muslims as one, and he was given a revelation by God in this regard, that all Muslims who live on the earth, unite them under one faith. So therefore, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, came to eradicate sectarianism, and to unite all Muslims at one hand and at one faith. In this regard, as I stated, I shall present certain statements of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. First of all, I shall present the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's extract before you, in which he speaks about the Khulafa-i Rashidin, the rightly guided Khulafa, that we should tread on their path, and that this is the sign of a believer and a Muslim. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says that I know that no person can be a Mu'min, a true believer, or a Muslim until he adopts a characteristic like that of Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, and Ali. May Allah be pleased with them all. They did not love the world. Rather, they had dedicated their lives in the way of Allah, the Exalted. Azur says, with respect to the rank and status of the Khulafa'i Rashidin, the rightly guided Khulafa, the promised Messiah on whom be peace, in Sidul Khilafa, on page 328 states, the reason why this time I am providing the page number is because this is an Arabic book. And in the morning, I gave the page number in reference to the Arabic translator so that they could easily translate this. Because the language of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, if the original words are presented, it will have a greater effect upon the Arabs. The translators cannot reach that level, whether they are even Arabic speaking originally, in the way that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has said that. In any case, as the promised Messiah on whom be peace says, that by God, these noble Khulafa are those who, for the chief of all creation, peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, support and help, did not even hesitate from risking death. For the sake of God Almighty, they accepted being separated from their parents and their children and being completely removed from them. For the sake of God the Exalted, they took up fights with their friends. For the sake of Allah the Almighty, they sacrificed their persons and their properties. In spite of this, they remained embarrassed and they remained grieved that they did not reach the excellence of what was due to them. They were often unfamiliar with the comfort of sleep, and they did not care at all about their own well-being. And nor did they seek sanctuary and also ease. Then how did you assume that these people were unfair and oppressive, unjust, and those who were also cruel? Whereas it is proven regarding them that they were not those who were inclined to avarice, and they remained completely submitted before the divine threshold. They were the people who had absorbed themselves completely in God. Azur says, therefore it has been explained that these people, the Khulafa-i Rashidin, the rightly guided Khulafa, they sacrificed everything that they had for the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, for Islam, and they effaced themselves entirely in God. Then, staying with Sirul Khilafa, on page 355, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, writes regarding Hadrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, that he had complete spiritual knowledge, he was kind and forbearing in his person, he spent his life in humility and poverty, he extended great forgiveness, compassion and mercy, he was recognized from the light of his forehead, he had a deep connection with Muhammad Mustafa, the Chosen One, Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his soul was connected to the soul of the Khairul Wara, the best of the creation. And he was covered and wrapped with the light which had covered his leader and his master and that beloved of God, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He was concealed under the light of wisdom of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and under his great beneficence. In his knowledge of the Holy Quran and his love for that messenger, the pride of humanity, Muhammad, the Chosen One, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he was most distinctive. When revelation and divine effects descended upon him, then he cut off all worldly connections and he embedded the color of his beloved one. And for the sake of that beloved God, he abandoned all other desires. His person was purified of worldly malice and was tinted in the color of the true God. He was lost in the pleasure of the Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all the worlds. And when the love of God Almighty permeated in his entire body, that is, when true love of God Almighty permeated within him entirely, And in the depths of his heart and in every particle of his body, the Prophet's light, his words, his postures of prayers, effaced itself and immersed itself in him. Then he was given the title of Siddiq, the truthful. Hazur says, in other words, when Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, was completely immersed in the person of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was given the title of Siddiq, the truthful. This is his status. Then further elucidating the status of Siddiqiyat of Hadrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, explaining why and how he received this title and rank. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says that the title that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to Hadrat Abu Bakr of Siddiq, the truthful, Allah the Almighty knows better what excellences were contained within him. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also stated that Hadrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him's excellence, is because of what was in his heart. If we ponder on this closely, then in reality, it is difficult to find a parallel to the Siddiq, the truthfulness displayed by Hadrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him. In truth, in any era, any person who wants to attain the excellence of Siddiq or truthfulness, it is essential for him that he should adopt the attributes and the nature of Abu Bakr. And for this, he should make the maximum efforts possible. And then, as much as possible, he should pray as well, until the shade of the nature of Abu Bakr is not cast over that person, and he does not embed himself in the color of Abu Bakr. He cannot acquire the Siddiqi excellences, the excellences of truthfulness. What exactly is an Abu Bakr-like nature? This is not the occasion for a lengthy exposition, because for this, a long discussion would be required. But briefly, I will relate just one example. It is this: when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, announced his prophethood, Hadrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, at the time was going towards Syria on a business trip. On his return, he was yet en route. When a person met him, he asked him about Makkah and what was going on there, and said, "Relate to me anything new that is occurring there." As is customary, when a person returns from a journey, if he meets a fellow countryman en route, then he would ask him about any new news in his home country. So that person replied that the fresh news is this, that your friend Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has claimed prophethood. Hadrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, as soon as he heard this, he said, if he has claimed this, then without any doubt this must be true. From just this one incident, it can be deciphered that he had such confidence and such good thoughts about the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He did not require any miracle. And this is the reality. Only that person demands a miracle who is not aware of the personality of the claimant. And he is not aware of his honor, and he requires further reassurance. But a person who is fully familiar with the claimant and also the circumstances has no need for miracles. In short, Hadrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, was still on his journey when he heard the claim of prophethood of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he believed. When he reached Makkah, he came before the blessed presence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he inquired that, "Have you claimed prophethood?" The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that, "Yes, this is true." Upon this, Hadrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, stated that, "You remain a witness that I am your first verifier or believer." For him to say this was not just a verbal profession or lip service. In fact, he testified to this through his practical actions, and he remained loyal to this until his last breath, and after the demise even of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not leave this. Then depicting how this sacrifice and loyalty was demonstrated by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states that once some enemies found the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, alone, and they seized him. They tied a cloth around his neck and started twisting that. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was close to dying when, coincidentally, Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, passed by, and with great difficulty he freed the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Upon this, Hazrat Abu Bakr was beaten so badly by the enemy that he fell to the floor unconscious. then mentioning a great favor of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, upon the Ummah, the Muslim community, the promised Messiah on whom be peace, states that similarly, Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him's reasoning deciphered from this verse, that Ma Muhammadun illa Rasul qad khalat min qablihi Rusul, and Muhammad is only a messenger. Verily, all messengers have passed away before him. So this clearly supports that according to him, Hazrat Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him, had passed away. Because if this verse means that from the earlier prophets, some prophets had passed away before the Khatamul Anbiya, the seal of the prophets, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, but some of them did not pass away until the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then in this case, no valid meaning could be taken from this verse. Because an incomplete evidence which is not based on an established concept or formula and does not encompass all past persons in his vicinity cannot be called evidence or proof. Also, the reasoning of Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, would become redundant. Remember that this proof that Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, provided regarding the passing away of all past prophets, no companion rejected this or objected to this, whereas all companions, all Sahabi were present at the time and they all remained quiet. This means that the companions unanimously agreed to this. They gave the ijma. The proof of the companions can never be erroneous. Therefore, amongst the favors of Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, on this ummah, on this Muslim community, is that to avoid the mistake that was to take place in the future, he opened the door to verity and reality in the era of Khilafat-e-Hakka, divinely guided Khilafat. He thus put such a strong barrier against the wave of error that even if all jinn were to join with the Maulvis of this time, they would not be able to break this barrier. So thus we pray that may Allah the Almighty bless Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, thousands of times, who receive holy revelation from Allah the Exalted, thereby reaching the decision that the Messiah has passed away. Then, in order to avert a great strife and disorder, the incredible achievement of Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, in this respect, regarding it, the promised Messiah on whom be peace states that in that time as well, Musaylama gathered a number of people in his following. It was at such a time that Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, became the Khalifa. A person can imagine what great difficulties were faced. If he had not a strong heart and he did not have the tenor of belief and the color of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this would have been extremely difficult. He would have become apprehensive and anxious. But this Siddiq was a Hamsaya of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, Hamsaya, that is, he was under his shade. He was under his shelter of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The influence of the high morals of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had permeated within him, and his heart was filled with Nuri Yaqeen, the perfect conviction and belief. This is why he demonstrated courage, resolve and forbearance. It is difficult to find any parallel example to that after the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His life was a life of Islam. This is a matter that requires no lengthy argument or discussion. Read about the circumstances of the time. It gives an indication of the service that Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, gave Islam at the time. I say most truly that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, is the second Adam for Islam. And I believe that if after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr had not existed, then Islam would no longer have existed either. It is a great favor of Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, that he re-established Islam in his perfect faith and belief. He punished all the rebellious people and he established peace in exact accordance of how Allah the Almighty had stated and promised that I would establish a true Khalifa and through that would establish peace. This prophecy was testified in the Khilafat of Hazrat Siddiq, and in the heavens and the earth practically this was testified and verified. So therefore this is the definition of Siddiq, that the Siddiq, the truthfulness, should reach this level of excellence and this rank. Regarding Khalifa Sani, the second Khalifa, Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, in terms of his status, his love for the Holy Prophet and his high moral standing. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says that once Hadrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, went to the house of the Holy Prophet. He saw that there were no provisions in his house, and the Holy Prophet was lying on a mat. The mat had left marks on his back. Seeing this circumstance, Hadrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, started weeping. The Prophet replied that, "O Umar, why do you cry?" Hadrat Umar responded that, "Seeing your difficulties, I started weeping. Caesar and Khosrow are disbelievers and yet are living a life of comfort, and you are going through these adversities." Then the Holy Prophet said that, "What have I to do with this world? My example is of a rider who is riding on the camel, and the intensive heat of the afternoon is troubling him. In that predicament, he sits under the shade of a tree to rest, and only after a few minutes, in that same intense heat, he resumes his journey." Regarding the rank and status of Hadrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, in another place, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states that, "Are you aware how great the status was of Hadrat Umar amongst the companions? To the extent that, according to his view, at times the Quran would be revealed to him. And there is a hadith regarding him that Satan runs from the shadow of Hadrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. Secondly, there is a hadith that if after me there would be a prophet, then that would be Umar. Thirdly, there is a hadith that amongst the previous communities there came muhaddith, those who received divine revelations. If there is any muhaddith in this ummah, then that is Umar." Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, writes regarding Hadrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, that certain accounts and certain prophecies that are hoped to be fulfilled just once, they may be fulfilled gradually or fulfilled in another person. For example, our Nabi, the Holy Prophet ﷺ's prophecy that the keys to the treasures of Caesar and Khosrow were placed in his hand. Although it is evident that before this prophecy could be fulfilled, the Holy Prophet ﷺ had passed away. And the Prophet ﷺ neither saw the treasures of Caesar nor Khosrow, nor did he see the keys of them. But because it was destined that the keys were to be given to Hadrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, because Hadrat Umar's being was like a shadow of the being of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For this reason, the hand of Hadrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, was metaphorically speaking considered to be the same as the hand of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, "Until you hold the helping hand of the Imam and are provided blessings from it, until then, most certainly you are not safe from any dangers or threats." Proof of this is found at the outset of Islam, that is, at the early period of Islam in the beginning. One person who was a scribe of the Holy Quran, at times, due to being close to the light of prophethood, he would receive revelations of the verse of the Holy Quran at the time, when the Holy Prophet ﷺ wanted that verse to be dictated. One day he considered that, "What is the difference between me and Muhammad, the Messenger, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him? I also receive revelation." Due to this way of thinking, he was destroyed, and it is written that even his grave threw him out. That is, when he passed away and he was buried, even his grave threw him out, just as Balaam was also destroyed. Balaam was also stuck in his presumptions in terms of his piety and his revelations. So he continues that Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, also received revelations, but he did not consider himself of any value whatsoever. And the Imamate Haqqa, the true Imamate established by God in the world, he did not want to be a part of that. In fact, he declared himself as completely humble and nothing. This is why, through God's grace, he was made the successor of the divine Khilafat. As it says, in comparison to the Prophet, he deemed himself as absolutely nothing. Allah the Almighty, descending His grace and blessings, made him the Khalifa, who is the successor of a Prophet. Then in Sirul Khilafah, page 326, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states the following, that, "My Lord has disclosed upon me that Abu Bakr, Umar, that Abu Bakr, Umar Farooq and Usman, Rizwanullah alayhim, may Allah be pleased with them all, were of the highest rank of faith and were filled with righteous guidance. They were amongst those who Allah the Almighty granted excellence, and who in particular were given superiority and excellence by God Almighty. A large majority of the people are witness to their excellences and are aware of their attributes. Purely for the pleasure of God Almighty, they left their homelands, and they entered every single battle without any hesitation whatsoever. They cared not for the burning heat, nor for the extreme cold nights. Rather, they kept on moving onwards in the cause of faith into the field. Along this way, they cared not for any close relatives, nor for anyone else. And for the sake of Rabbul Alameen, Lord of all the worlds, they became prepared to leave everything. Their beautiful actions emanate a fragrance, and their pleasing deeds also emanate a sweet smell. From their high, lofty actions and their righteous deeds and their blessed practices, a fragrant model appears for us, and from which the indication of their effects are also evident. Their light reflects upon us. So therefore, that fragrance is as a guidance for us. Then the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says in one place that this belief is most essential. That Hadrat Siddiq Akbar, may Allah be pleased with him, Hadrat Farooq Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, Hadrat Dhun Nurain, the possessor of two lights, in other words, Hadrat Usman, may Allah be pleased with him, and Hadrat Ali Murtaza, may Allah be pleased with them, all of them most certainly were trustworthy in their faith. Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, who was the second Adam of Islam. Similarly, Hadrat Farooq and Hadrat Usman, may Allah be pleased with them. If they were not trustworthy in the faith, then today it would have been difficult for us to say that even one verse of the Holy Quran was from God Almighty. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, writing about Hadrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, his station and his rank. This also is from Sirul Khilafa, page 358. The translation of that extract is, Hadrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, was extremely righteous and pure. He was from amongst those people who are the most beloved of the gracious God. He was from a very good family. He was amongst the leaders of the time. He was a lion and very generous youngster of God. He was extremely generous and pure of heart. He was that unique courageous person who would not move an inch from the epicenter of battle, even if there was an army of the enemy in front of him. He even lived a destitute and miserable life and attained an excellent rank in terms of his kindness towards humanity. He would be the foremost in distributing wealth, alleviating pain and suffering, caring for the orphans, the neighbors, and the needy. In different combats, he displayed incredible feats of courage and bravery. And in battles where the sword and spears were used, he displayed wondrous feats. Alongside this, he demonstrated elegant and eloquent speech. As he says, that is, he would speak in a most beautiful manner. So the promised Messiah continues that his words would embed into other people's hearts. In this way, Hadrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, would remove the rust in the minds of people and enlighten that instead with the light of reasoning. He had command over every matter, and whoever had any excellence within him, then he before him would have to apologize in his inferiority. That is, as he says, even educated people held no significance in front of him. So he continues that he was the embodiment of the highest forms of excellence and elegance and also eloquence. Whoever denies his excellence embarks on a path of vulgarity. Then, speaking about all the companions, the Sahaba, Rizwanullah alayhim, may Allah be pleased with him, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says that I once again want to present the peerless example of the companions that they believed in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and displayed in their practical lives that God, who is unseen and who is hidden from the eyes of the disbelieving and false people. Those companions saw with their eyes, yes with their eyes, saw that God, otherwise tell us what exactly was that? That did not make them care at all, that they left their homeland, they left their country, they left their properties. They separated themselves entirely from their friends and their relatives. That was the trust in God alone. And that trust in that one God enabled them to perform those feats that if you sift through the pages of history, a person will be amazed and flabbergasted. That was faith, and faith alone and nothing else. Otherwise, in contrast to the worldly people's plans, their schemes, all the efforts, endeavors were all present. Yet all of those plans failed. That is, as Hazrat says, the endeavors of the worldly people failed. So he continues, their numbers, their community, their possessions and wealth were all greater, but they did not have faith, that is, the non-Muslims. And only because they had no faith were they destroyed. And they were not able to achieve success, but the Sahaba, the companions, through their spiritual strength, they won everything. When they heard the voice of that one person, who despite being brought up illiterate and unlettered, yet he was well known for his truthfulness, his trustworthiness and his honesty. When he announced that I have come from God Almighty, as soon as they heard this, they sided with him, and like madmen, they followed him. I say once again, that was only one aspect that made them into this state, and that was faith. Remember that faith in God is an incredible thing. Hazur says that the expression of love and respect for the Khulafai Rashideen, the companions, or the progeny of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was due to his love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I mentioned earlier, he considered that an essential part of the faith. In another place expressing this, the promised Messiah on whom be peace says that it is our faith that holy people and the people of God should be revered, but the observance of the status should be considered. Hazrat says everybody should be revered, but everybody has their respective ranks. It should be according to that. So he continues that you should not exceed the limits and become a sinner yourself. Hazrat says you should not go to extremes. So he continues, and you should not in that way slight the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or other prophets. That person who says that all prophets, including the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, receive salvation through the intercession of Hazrat Imam Hussein, he has transgressed. And this is a slight upon all the prophets, including the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, speaks about his link with Hazrat Hussein and Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with them. That I have a delicate link with Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Hussein, may Allah be pleased with them. This secret is only known by the Lord of the East and West and no one else. I love Ali and both his sons. If anybody holds enmity towards them, then I hold enmity towards the person who holds enmity towards them. I am not of those who commit injustice, and it is impossible for me that I should refrain from this love which Allah the Almighty has granted me, and nor am I those who exceed the limits and transgress. This is also a reference of Sirul Khilafah, the translation from that extract. Then, clarifying this connection further, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says that even in Islam, those with Jewish attributes adopted this manner. And in their misconceptions, they persecuted God's holy people in every era. Look, for example, how thousands of foolish people left Hadhrat Imam Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him, and joined Yazid instead. That is, they left Hadhrat Imam Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him, and thousands joined with Yazid. Physically and verbally, they caused suffering to this innocent Imam. Finally, they were only satisfied with killing him. And then, from time to time, always, they persecuted the Imams, the truthful and mujaddids of this time, giving them names of disbelievers, faithless, etc. Thousands of truthful people were persecuted by these people. And not only did they give them the name of kafir, disbeliever, but in fact, wherever they could possibly do so, they tried to disgrace, imprison and kill them. So much so that now our time has arrived, and people of the 13th century would say that in the 14th century, the Imam Mahdi and the promised Messiah would arrive, or at least a great Mujaddid would be born in that time. However, when at the top of the 14th century, that Mujaddid was born, And not only did God's revelation name him the Messiah Ma'ud, the promised Messiah, but in fact the current disorder prevalent that also cried out, that is a disorder at the time, that indicated that the name of that person would be the promised Messiah. They seriously rejected him, and to the maximum extent possible they persecuted him. Through different schemes and different machinations they tried to disgrace him and to eliminate him. As Ruh says, that is, they rejected him, they caused him suffering, and they tried to remove him and eliminate him entirely. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, peace be upon him, states, he states this in another place, that in this qasida, in this verse of poetry that I have written, regarding other Imam Hussein or Hadrat Isa, Jesus peace be upon him, that this was not a human endeavor. Foul is that person who upon the excellent and righteous persons use slanderous language. I believe truly that no person regarding a righteous person like Hussein or Hadrat Jesus peace be upon them can slander them and remain alive even one night. And the revelation of God, min adali waliyin, that grabs that person. So blessed is that person who understands the matters of the heaven and reflects upon the wisdom of God. Hazur says, this is a hadith, that min adali waliyin, faqad azantahu bilharb, that he who adopts enmity against my friend, then I announce war against such a person. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, is whatever I write is through the will, the decision, and the decree of God Almighty. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states in one place, that believers are those people whose practices bear witness to their faith, whose hearts have faith inscribed on them, and who give precedence to their God and God's pleasure over everything else. They adopt the intricate path of taqwa for the sake of Allah the Exalted. They immerse themselves in the love of God. And anything that removes a person from God, like an idol, whether it is a person's own self, his bad deeds, or his negligence, he would shun all of that. Unfortunately, Yazid was not aware of this. The love of the world had blinded him, whereas Hussein was pure and wholesome. Without any doubt whatsoever, he was among those chosen and holy people of God. He is amongst those holy people of God who God purifies with his own hands and illuminates with his light. Without any doubt whatsoever, he is amongst the leaders of paradise. And to have the slightest amount of malice towards him is a source of impairing one's faith. The taqwa, love of God, steadfastness, patience, resolve, worship, and devotedness of this Imam is a blessed model for us. We are those who follow the guidance of this sincere Imam, which he received. Destroyed is that heart that is an enemy of him, and successful is that heart that practically demonstrates love towards him. And in his faith, his morals, his steadfastness, his taqwa, and his resolve, and all the features of his love of God in a reflective manner, he tries to follow perfectly within him. Just as in a clean mirror, the reflection of a beautiful person is visible. Such people are concealed from the eyes of the world. Who knows what their value is apart from those who are amongst them? The eye of the world cannot recognize them because those people are far removed from the world. This was the reason of the martyrdom of Hussein, because he was not recognized. Which pure or chosen person of God Almighty was loved in his time by the world so that Hussein should also be loved? In short, this was the highest form of dishonesty and faithlessness, to scorn Hadrat Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him. Any person who regarding Hadrat Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him, or any holy person who is amongst the pure Imams, scorns them, or uses any type of derogatory words against any of them, such a person wastes his faith, because God the Almighty becomes the enemy of those, because Allah the Exalted becomes the enemy of those who are the enemy of his chosen and beloved people. Hazur says, therefore, this is that beautiful and just teaching which can unite Muslims at one hand and can eradicate sectarianism, which was given to that chosen one of Allah who was commissioned by God the Exalted, and then who gave us this message. He who in this age came as a true servant of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a message of peace and reconciliation. May Allah make it so that the Muslim Ummah, the Muslim community, understand this message so they can save themselves from sectarianism, disorder, and the murder and mayhem against each other. So that Islam with a new splendor can illuminate the ends of the earth. May Allah the Almighty make it so that this month of Muharram passes in peace, security and safety everywhere. May every Muslim keep other Muslims safeguarded from his physical actions and also from his words. Also pray most intensely for the general state of the Muslim countries and also the disorder that is rife. Nowadays, most countries are passing through terrible times. May Allah the Almighty keep Islam and Muslims safe from every kind of evil and every evildoer. In the majority of Muslim countries, as I stated, internal disorder and strife is prevalent. Because of this, peace is being destroyed. Rather than progress, they are rapidly moving backwards. The general economic condition of the world is also creating anxiety. If this is affecting the West, then it is also affecting the Eastern countries, the Muslim countries, and also everywhere else. Then, a third most grave situation that is developing and that is about to develop, which apparently appears to be the case, that the world is most rapidly moving towards a world war. May Allah the Almighty bestow His mercy upon mankind and grant humanity wisdom and understanding. In these days, we must pray most intensely. We must also make all precautionary measures. May Allah the Almighty help us.
Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر